I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to hear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I had already come. His grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Praise the Lord. Things we've missed in not gathering together is singing. I'm sure that everyone, while watching live stream services, was singing in their home and standing and singing too, I'm sure. But it's possible we've missed that a lot. Again, I know I have. So let's go ahead and sing, Christ Receiveth Sinful Man.
Sinners, Jesus will receive. Sound his word of grace to all. Who the heaven.
Christ receive a sinful man, make the message pure and plain. Christ receive a sinful man.
Now my heart condemns me not, pure before the law I stand. He who cleansed me from all spot, satisfied its last demand.
Christ receive a sinful man, even me with all my sin, purged from every spot and stain, heaven with him I entered in. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receive a sinful man, make the message pure and
praise the Lord. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, thank you and praise you for your goodness. Thank you that we can gather in your name. Thank you for each one that's here. Thank you for each one that's listening. Thank you again, Father, that we could meet and worship on this Lord's Day in May. Thank you again, Father, for health and strength. Thank you for your protection on each one. And pray again that you just touch as we again struggle and muddle through a pandemic in our country. I pray again, Father, that you'd have your will and your way in our lives, that you'd give us opportunity to talk of the hope that lieth within us. And Father, that you just bless as we'd gather together to strengthen and encourage other believers in this hour. Father, thank you especially that we can gather and worship you, our Lord, our Savior, our soon coming King. And Father, as we worship today, we ask again that you touch each heart. And as we lift up holy hands and praise your holy name, I pray again, Father, that you'd smile on our worship, our love for you, and touch this church, touch this service. We thank you for other churches again that are meeting today. I thank Crystal Valley that are meeting with the sheriff and the state police. I think again of the church up in Boston that's being fined $300 for meeting today. I think again of the churches in New Jersey and Maryland, Father, that are being attacked by policemen in liberal states, Father, because again, they don't understand the amendment that was given to our Constitution, the cause that we have a freedom to assemble and worship, and the state cannot interfere with that. As we again muddle through these times, I pray, Father, again, that you'd be mindful of everything that's going on, every lawsuit that's being threatened. And Father, especially for your church, that you'd again win some victories and cause again that your name could be lifted up and exalted. We've heard from missionaries again that are going through austere times on mission fields and third world countries. And Father, I pray that you'd especially guardian the Mullers as they meet there in Mexico. And Father, others that had their testimony and witness stifled because again of this virus. And I pray, Father, again, that you'd be mindful of their love for you and their efforts again to be a witness during these times. And then, Father, I pray again that you touch this little church. Father, we need to grow, and we'd just be thrilled to add souls to the rolls of heaven, Father, during these austere and hard times. But I pray, Father, again, that you'd especially just touch our witness, our walk with you, and Father, help us. And we'll praise you. Accept now our worship. We worship your Son. We lift his name up. And pray, Father, again, that you would just touch each one that's here with health and strength and protection. And also, Father, that we could just love you all the more this morning. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. And let's have a scripture reading. If someone has their Bible, I think Brother Cramner, I'll have a place for you to do a scripture reading later in there as well, of your choice, praise the Lord. But right now, Ezekiel chapter 10, if someone has a Bible, would like to read for us Ezekiel chapter 10, verses 8 through 15. Ezekiel chapter 10, verses 8 through 15. We're going to be preaching out of the book of Matthew today. And as we again take this, let's go ahead. Someone just has got that first. We'll have a Bible drill if you got it and want to read. Go ahead, Dave.
Where are we going, 8 to
15? 8 through 15.
Well, I just so happy to get it before Dove.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, bummer. And there appeared in the cherubims the form of a man's hand under their wings. And when I looked, behold, the four wheels by the cherubs, one wheel by one cherub, another wheel by another cherub, and the appearance of the wheels was of the color of a beryl stone. And as for their appearances, they four had one likeness, and as if the wheel had been in the midst of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides. They turned not as they went, but to the place where the head looked, they followed it. They turned not as they went, and their whole body, and their backs, and their hands, and their wings, and the wheels were full of eyes round about, even the wheels that they four had. But for the wheels, it was cried unto them in my hearing, O wheel. And everyone had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub, and the second face was the face of a man, and the third the face of a lion, and the fourth the face of an eagle. And the cherubim were lifted up. This is the living creature that I saw by the river of Chebar.
All right. So, again, we want to take note of those four faces, and those are the four personalities we'll look at. There's no biography of Jesus written, but there are four glimpses into his personalities, and here they are portrayed in these cherubims, the face of a man, it says in verse 10, the face of a lion, the face of an ox, and the face of an eagle. So we'll revisit those personalities today in our Sunday message. If you have a song sheet, we don't have song books again, praise the Lord. We did have to put them away so that we won't all be handling the same things each week here as we meet. And I appreciate again that we could meet during these times again. Let's go ahead and sing, "Only a Sinner Saved by Grace." We need to... Grandma, are you still there? We need to get Grandma a song she can do again so she can fit in and sing with us down there. We should have dropped one off. "Only a Sinner," 207. "Not have I gotten but what I received. Grace have bestowed it since I have believed. Boasting excluded, pride I abase. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. A few announcements. We will be meeting again on Sunday or Wednesday night, similar fashion, only we just have a short Bible study and then we pray together for our midweek prayer service. So if you can be here for that, we'll again practice our social distancing and just have prayer together as a church. Appreciate again that we could do that. We will not be having Sunday night services. And so again, we're going to limit the number of times that we do gather together. I do encourage you to tune into Solid Rock Baptist Church, solidrockinfo.com, no, .org. And they have a streamlined service. I think it's at 5:30 this evening. And so if you can get online and get to that. We've had just enjoyed being in their services. They have, again, a good song service and some excellent preaching. And I'm glad that some of our folks got to meet the Clark brothers, Mike and Charlie, and their dad, Charles. And so I was in conference with them yesterday. I guess that was Friday. We had another church conference on Zoom with them and covering all the legalities and everything that's going on in the states of Northeast. And so just appreciate the Clarks. Appreciate, again, that they're going ahead with live stream of their services. They have about a church that runs over 1,000. And so they have all the resources you could imagine, again, for keeping their Christian school going. They're keeping their Vision Baptist College going. And they're keeping, again, their Sunday school time going and their Sunday morning worship, Sunday night worship, and Thursday night Bible studies. And most of them are offered online. And so I'd encourage you, again, to get involved with them. The only part I'd warn you about is when they take up their offering online, again, go ahead and give there. But remember where your tithes and offering belong, again. Praise the Lord. And again, I appreciate Solid Rock. So if you could tune in there. Also, our Sunday book, or Sunday, Dave Johnson has been putting our Sunday school, I didn't see it today, but I think it was up, our Sunday school lessons up on Facebook. If you have a Facebook connection, you can go ahead and connect there with them. And so appreciate, again, that we can just keep going. We do have a conference call going, and I'll probably go ahead and get one number so it'll be easier for our folks to follow. But if you dial this number right now, it's 978-990-5098. And our access code for Good Samaritan Baptist Church is 440-9028 in the bulletin there. If you dial that up, it'll give you the last recorded service. It'll play for you. And you don't need a reference number again. You just press a pound sign, and it will give you the last recorded service. And on there, our last recorded service should be our Wednesday night prayer service on there this week. And so if you can go ahead and use that conference call, we encourage you to do that. And then one more special announcement. Thursday night, we want to have a fellowship dinner. And so Thursday night, fellowship dinner, we're going to call it Taco Thursday. Now, Rice's always have Taco Tuesday. And I was going to do a Taco Tuesday, but I've been fasting for the whole coronavirus. I've been fasting 3 days a week. And Tuesday falls right in the middle of my normal fast. And so rather than do that, and you can watch me get skinnier, I just go ahead and have that Thursday. So Thursday, appreciate again, Brother Cramner, again, has lots of Zoom capabilities right now.
Yeah, just though, make sure that everybody understands it's not here.
Right, yeah. So what you need to do is from your home with your own taco, okay, is dial into the Zoom, or its internet connection to the Zoom.
So let me ask, does anybody, not to interrupt, but just, like, I've already been on Deb's. I've been on here, so I can get yours. Now,
Dave and Jeannie have it.
Do you have the ability for internet?
No, not right now.
Okay.
But they again might get that. He needs what you need a laptop. Yeah, you have an internet connection, but it's not being used because of the laptop. So yeah. So if anyone wants to, again, just type Zoom in your computer and take a Zoom course. There's several tutors on there on how to use Zoom, and we'll be zooming in. Praise the Lord! And Dave will get that number out to all of us on Facebook. Phone calls, we'll call people. And I think Grandma had the capability. She's now Facebooking onto and catching the Sunday school, at least. And so,
I don't know what Zoom means. I don't know what that means.
It's an internet connection.
Yeah, just from my phone. We don't have a computer.
Okay, so we might. Well, it's kind of hard to do a conference call for a Taco Thursday, but we'll find a way again to go ahead and do that too. So anyway, if you have Zoom capability, it's going to be put out, and who knows shows up We have Rices out in Ohio that might even show up for a fellowship dinner, you know. So I appreciate, again, that we could do that. Appreciate Dave having all the Zoom capability that he has. And he'll host that meeting, and we'll go ahead and set up. Now, my schedule is on Thursday night is we can Zoom from 6 o'clock until 7 o'clock. Then we've got to quit and we've got to leave because Jeopardy comes on at 7 o'clock and we never miss Jeopardy. And then Thursday night at 7:30 is Solid Rock Baptist Church has their church meeting. So that's what we'll be doing on Thursday. But you Zoom in with your taco and we'll have a good time again getting together as best we can, those who have an internet connection. Praise the Lord. We do again want to mention our tithes and offering. We're not going to be passing a plate, but we do want to go ahead and emphasize that we have offerings offered here. And so just before, and I appreciate the giving again, and we did pay all of our missionaries for the month of April, and we'll go ahead and look again to take better care of our offerings as they come in and give you a count for how we're doing with those in our financial report that I'll mail out to our church each week. And so you give, and I appreciate your faithfulness at giving, even during hard times and difficult challenges that we're facing. Let's go ahead and sing this doxology as part of our offering recognition anyway. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Another thing I've missed anyway is Dave doing our every week scripture reading. So, Brother Cramner, if you have a scripture reading for us, let's go ahead and do that.
Just now. Let's turn to Psalm 53 because today's May 53. And 26 verses, so we'll read them all loud together.
Praise the Lord. That's what? Psalm 53?
Yeah, let's all stand.
Stand and sing loud.
I said last week in the car, but verse 1 of 53 says,
"The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven on the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is drawn back. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Do we eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God. They were they in great fear, where no fear was. For God has scattered the bones of him that encamped against thee. Thou hast put them to shame, because God hath despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when God bringeth back the captivity of the people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad."
Amen. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. Let's remain standing, if you would. Grab your song sheet and let's sing again. He is able to deliver thee. Is that right? No. Look and live. I jumped ahead of page. And I've already lost my page. Anybody want key that's in?
C.
Key of C. Praise the Lord. I have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. This message unto you I give. 'Tis recorded in his word. Hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now. Is message full of love. Hallelujah. A message, oh my friend, for you. 'Tis a message from above. Hallelujah. Jesus said it, and I know 'tis true. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. 'Tis recorded in His Word. Hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. Life is offered unto you. Hallelujah. Eternal life thy soul shall have. If you'll only look to Him, hallelujah, look to Jesus who alone can save. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. 'Tis recorded in His Word, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. Last verse. I will tell you how I came, hallelujah, to Jesus when He made me whole. 'Twas believing on His name, hallelujah, I trusted and He saved my soul. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. Lord, you may be seated. And again, anyone has a Bible, would like to do a scripture reading for us, the book of Matthew this time in chapter 5, just the first 12 verses. Matthew and chapter 5, the first 12 verses of that chapter, if someone would find that and stand and read it loud.
And seeing the multitudes, He went up into the mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came unto Him. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when the men shall revile you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which before you.
All right, praise the Lord. That is again the Sermon on the Mount, and the nine blessed R's is what I call them. Nine blessed R's on there. And so appreciate again that we could hear those this morning. Praise the Lord. Anyone have a praise testimony they'd give? Boy, it's good to be in the church house here again. Hallelujah. Appreciate again each one being here that came. Appreciate again that we can keep Jeannie in prayer. She is home from the hospital, and appreciate again your prayers. I've heard a couple folks, again, that are praying for Jeannie and have heard through Facebook or whatnot. And Don Fenner again called and let us know that he's praying for Jeannie and for Good Samaritan Baptist Church. And so other friends, again, of the church and family, again, keeping her in our prayers. Anyone have a praise? Yes, Brother Cramner.
Yeah, I just praise God that, you know, even through this pandemic, whatever, however you feel about it, that people are starting to see the liberal government the way that it is.
Yeah,
in other words,
yeah.
They're using this pandemic for their own personal gain, and people are starting to rebel against it. And I praise God that we're looking at our Constitution and realizing that the government can't do what they're doing. So it's good.
All right. One of the things that was emphasized in our meeting was that we have government or a constitutionally guaranteed right to assemble and a guaranteed right to worship, and the government cannot interfere with that. even though they're making a noble effort in many states. And praise the Lord, we've not had any interference at all. We've coordinated again what we're trying to do with the village here and keeping that. Yes, Deb.
My mom sent a couple praises that she's through surgery, and she also says praise the Lord for her church family.
All right. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. Johnson's. Yes, Chris.
Praise the Lord. I made it through two gallbladder tests this last week and a half. But I just said, I know I got to do the surgery, but I'm just so on right now because of everything going on.
Yeah.
So just pray because it's unbearable. And I don't know how long before I would even be able to get in to get the surgery. So just pray about that.
All right, let's keep pressing our prayers in. Barb, do you have your hand up?
Yes, I praise the Lord for all our health, my family, and, you know, everybody. Luke's been good and healthy. Everybody's been, you know, healthy. So I praise God for that. And I praise Him that He got me through another week. And I'm actually starting to be able to sleep a little bit during the day. So these overnights aren't So I praise God for that.
All right, praise the Lord. God
and
is
praise
good.
Beautiful church.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I have noticed that again. I hope, anyway, that we are much closer than we have been. We have missed, again, the gathering together. But again, I appreciate, again, all the phone calls, just staying in touch with each other, keeping encouragement of members of Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Keep that up. We're looking for God to do some great things, even here during these hard times. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? I don't want to miss anybody, and I appreciate, again, that we can give praise. Brother Bill.
Yeah, I praise the Lord that I'm able to be here in person.
Praise the Lord.
You know, all these other people are having all these troubles. And I've asked the Lord to make it so I can come to church and ask Him to watch out for me. And I've asked Him to watch out for Jeannie.
Yeah.
And He's doing that.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
You know, you often sit and you wonder, how can He do that? One God. Care of all these
people. Hallelujah.
That's why He's God.
Amen.
If He can do it, I just praise the Lord for who He is.
All right. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that again. And He does have us in His care, and He is able to deliver us. If you have your song sheet, let's go ahead and sing page 260. He is able to deliver. Tis the grandest theme through the ages run. Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. Tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to Him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme in the earth or main. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal strain. 'Tis the grandest theme tell the world. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to Him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme, let the tidings roll to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. Look to God in faith, He will make you whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to Him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. Praise the Lord. If you have a Bible with you, open it up to the Gospel of John. I said we're going to be preaching out of the book of Matthew today, but we have an opening text in the Gospel of John and chapter 19. I want to start a series. I always love preaching a series. And so we'll be doing a series here, as near as I could tell, for the next until September right now again. So I want to look at a series of messages called Behold Your King, and just look at some scriptures about our King. Praise the Lord. And make a distinction that He is our King. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is our Christ. He is, again, our Passover Lamb. And again, we want to exalt Him and recognize Him as a King. And soon the whole world will. The whole world will soon recognize. Every knee, the Bible says, is going to bow before this King. Coming soon, and as we see things unfolding in our society, I'm thinking it's going to be sooner than we had thought previous, although I've always been expecting Him before sunset. And so I appreciate again that we could behold the King. Look at that text. The only time it shows up in your Bible is recorded here in John and chapter 19, and let's just look at some verses there. John chapter 19, starting in verse 13. So in your Bible, John chapter 19, very familiar, I trust. I hope you all know immediately where we're at in reading this text. John chapter 19, the Bible says, "When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, Behold your King. But they cried, Away with him, away with him. Crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your King? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Father, praise you and thank you. Thank you again, Father, as we would look into your word, that you'd bless this assembly of believers. Bless those that have joined us again on Facebook or on recording. Bless as we would lift up the name of your Son and call him our King. And Father, as we do that in this next week of series of Behold Your King, I pray, Father, again, that you'd help us to love your Son all the more and learn of him, and I'll praise you for your hand, even on this introduction to a message that we'd look at today. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can hold it close. Thank you for those that have spent more time in reading your word, even since this pandemic has struck us, than we did before. Thank you for those that have taken time in fasting and prayer. Thank you again, Father, for those that have revitalized their prayer lives. And I just pray now again, as we're at least recording worship together again in the month of May here, Father, that you would touch and smile on our church and bless our efforts to see your name lifted up and our King, our Savior, and our Lord, Father, lifted up in each life. We'll praise you now and thank you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Lord gave me this message again even before I found the text there that we read in John, Behold Your King. And so I want to go through scriptures and look again at the rejection of the King. I want to look at the fact that the world had rejected Christ as King. The word Christ means the anointed one. In fact, there in Psalms chapter 2, when it says again that man raised up against God and his anointed, it's talking indeed about the Christ. And so Christ in Hebrew and Aramaic is a Messiah. And so again, understand that when we call him Christ, we call him the Anointed One, and we're acknowledging him as our King. And I want you to see, even from the verses we just read, that they rejected him as King. They rejected him as Christ or Messiah. And they rejected him to the point where they took the only begotten Son of God and nailed him to an old rugged cross so that you and I could have eternal life. He died for you. He died for me. And so as we worship here today and as we look at this introductory lesson about a king that came to earth, I'd have us again just marvel all the more. About a year ago, we did a funeral for a family member, and he had come down with lung cancer and called us and said he had less than a year to live, and he had just recently gotten saved. And so I started doing a couple Bible studies with him, and one of the things he asked, you know, now that he's got saved at the end of his life, he only had a year left to live, what should he do as a Christian? Isn't that a curious question? If you knew you only had a year to live, what would you do with your life as a Christian? And that's pretty sobering. I found it so. And I told him, since he'd not been in church, he'd not had, not read his Bible, not had any relationship with God at all in all the years of his drunken and life, that he should probably spend a year just studying the Lord Jesus Christ and get to know him, because before the year would close, and sure enough that was true, that he would see him face to face. And you don't want to be a stranger to him when you stand before him. And so, again, we outlined some things and read some scriptures together, and as best I could, I gave him that chronology of the events in Christ's life and just asked him to go through that and learn everything you can about the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, look. Understand this, that none of you in this room, none of you hearing my voice, are guaranteed more than a year. In fact, we're not guaranteed a year. And so if this was the last year of your life, what would you do as a Christian? What would your priorities be as a Christian? And so last week we looked at, again, a little bit about death. And the fact, again, that we're in a moment going to be absent from this body and present with the Lord, and that's comforting to us. We looked at the verse again that said, death of a righteous is precious in the eyes of the Lord. And so again, as we consider that today, I'd have us embark on a study to learn some deeper things about the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in Hebrews chapter 11, chapter 6 again, maybe it's 7. Hebrews chapter 6. Anyway, it talks again about the fact it's a reprimand to them that they're just babes in Christ and they haven't grown and they haven't learned what they should have learned as Christians. And he reprimands them that they have not learned the, and he gives 7 foundational doctrines that we ought to bone up on as Christians. And the first one, again, is the fact, the doctrine of Christ. To recognize who Christ is and the power. Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And so for us, I want to, as I embark on this study, as we look again at these next series that we want to look at, and I'm going to go a long way probably on this series because we got Behold the King, and I want to get 4 lessons out of that that we'll preach here. And then I want to look at I Am, the I Ams. You've got 7 I Ams. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the on and on and on. And so again, we want to look at 7 of the I Ams. And so from now to September, I want that we just be students of the Lord Jesus Christ and study him and learn him. And here as we embark on this book, in the book of Matthew, I want again that we would be exposed to the Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom of heaven a little bit to understand that he was the rejected king. As I said again during our song service, there are no biographies of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are no places that just goes and said, okay, here's everything that happened in the life of Christ. However, we do have 4 distinct personalities that we looked at over in the book of Ezekiel. And when we looked at them, again, I'd emphasize the fact that, hey, those are personalities of given of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those cherubims had one, the face of a man. They had the face of a lion, the face of a ox, and then the face of an eagle. Again, those four faces. And again, we have four gospels, and we find a presentation in those four gospels of the Lord Jesus Christ here in Matthew as the lion or the king of Judah. And so if you look in Matthew, now certainly the other gospels touch on this, but Matthew is predominantly about his kingship. And so that's where we're going to spend a little time looking at the fact that he's king. We look at Mark and it talks about him being an ox. An ox, really? The face of an ox? Yes, the face of a servant. And if you look at Matthew, 90% of the verses in there begin with "and." And he did this, and he did this, and he did this. And it's a list of things that the servant did. Luke is the face of a man. John is the face of God. They're represented in Ezekiel as an eagle. Turn back there again to the book of Ezekiel. I was in Ecclesiastes when Dave started reading, and so I thought, what happened? Did the Bible change? So Ezekiel, and get to the book of Ezekiel with me if you would, and look at chapter 10. Now Ezekiel is unique in the fact that, again, it gives this description of the cherubims that surround God. And we'll look for a second at a cherubim, because we want to look at these four presentations of the personality of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Ezekiel in chapter 10, look with me at verse 14. Look at verse 8. "And there appeared in the cherubims the form of a man's hand under their wings." And so this is the same description that's given in Ezekiel chapter 1 of these cherubims that surround the presence of God. Cherubims, again, that are in his presence. And here, I like to think, especially in chapter 10, of this being God's mobile throne. And so when God has gone mobile at this point, and the sad thing is in this chapter, he's leaving the temple of God, and this is the departure. This is where Ichabod shows up again, and the presence of God departs from the temple. And so as he departs, Ezekiel sees these cherubims escorting the throne of God, and there's a wheel spinning in the middle of a wheel, and we have that whole explanation given here of these mobile cherubims escorting again the glory of God out of Jerusalem. What a sad thing in the larger picture. But look with me at verse 10. "As for their appearance," it says, and in Ezekiel 10, verse 14, I'm sorry, I'm way off here. Verse 14, "And every one had four faces. The face was the face of a cherub." Whoa, wait a minute now. There's no cherub in the first chapter. The first was the face of a cherub. The second, the face was the face of a man. The third, the face of a lion. And the fourth, the face of an eagle. And so I've looked at the order that these are given in, and I've looked at this transition so that it's not anymore an ox. Some of us didn't like the ox in the other one. I'd have liked it better if they'd have called it a Holstein cow myself again. But the idea there, I mean, they've got them big, beautiful eyes. I've never seen a pretty ox again. We used to have Jersey cows on the farm. He'd keep a couple Jerseys to keep our cream count up. And boy, those jerseys with those big black eyes and the rims around their eyes, it looks like they had mascara on. I've seen women try to look like a Jersey cow. And anyway, I forgot my point. Oh, this was the face of an ox. And so notice that it's missing in this description. Instead, substituted in was the face of a cherub. And we don't know exactly what that is, but we do know some things about cherubs. Let me go ahead and give you them right out of the Strong's Dictionary. A cherub is an angelic being. It's a spirit being. It is an angelic being. They are the guardians that were put in the Garden of Eden. Remember, God, again, to keep Adam and Eve out, put guards there, guardians. And so they were guardians. And they're also guardians of God's glory. They are shown in Ezekiel as flanking God's throne. They're shown as hovering over the Ark of the Covenant. Remember, again, the two cherubs again. And all of the curtains, again, had pictures of cherubs in them. Again, they're also in Ezekiel shown as the chariot of God, or the wheels there on the chariot of God. And so these cherubims are in the presence of God, and these cherubims are God. And listen here, it was substituted in that it had a face of a cherub instead of a face of an ox. And I'd have you know that that to me is an exaltation of one of the personalities of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that personality is given there in the book of Mark. And it is the fact that he was a servant.
Amen.
I want us to recall that Jesus came down from heaven and he washed the disciples' feet.
That's right.
He said, I came. He's made a little lower than the angels. And he came to minister to men. And again, as we consider that, notice, I believe here, in the changing of this vision from an ox, the face of an ox to the face of a cherubim, we can see the face of God there. Because he was given the responsibility, and he accepted it. And he again was made to be a servant, and he came to serve mankind, and he serves us. He washed the disciples' feet as a servant. But listen, listen, there's more. He said also that since I took on the, I left the portals of glory and I came to earth to be a servant, what ought you be doing? What ought my Christians be doing? What ought those that have received Christ? Listen, we ought to be servants of others. A lot of people get high and exalted, and you see a little bit of in our government today. Once they're given a little bit of power, they say, woohoo, boy, and they love it. They love having all the power, and everyone must do what they say, and if they say stay in their home and stay off the beaches, they must obey. If they say it's okay to buy marijuana seeds, but you can't buy tomato seeds, they say, okay, yeah, I've got authority to make people stop buying tomato seeds in Michigan. And they're going crazy with their power. And remember again the fights with some of the disciples about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And Jesus again emphasized, no, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you got to be a servant. You got to be a minister. And so we see the same thing going on in churches about who's going to be the greatest in church. And they're still having the fights that the disciples had about that. And so that's all free. That's even beside the message. But we have these personalities that are presented of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to put our emphasis here on the what is portrayed as the King. So Matthew presents the Lord Jesus Christ as our King. Mark presents him as a servant. Luke presents his humanity. And John presents him as God in the flesh. And so memorize those. Be a student of those personalities. And as you study your Bible, as you study Christ, watch for those attributes. Now, none of them have a corner on all of Christ's personality. But they do have an emphasis on each of those areas that I just mentioned. And so we began again in John to look at, behold your King. And certainly John presents Christ as the Christ, the anointed one of God. And the King that's going to come back to this earth, as does Mark, as does Luke. And so here we're seeing an emphasis in the book of Matthew on that corner of his personality. And I just point that out so that we could have a bigger view in our Bible study. So let's look now at the Matthew in overview. Let's just turn to the book of Matthew and let's read the whole book. We got time to do that in 3 minutes. I wanted to get to chapter 13 and preach out of 13. And then I thought, well, I'm going to have to do that next week. And then I'm thinking, man, we can't next week. Anybody know why we can't do that next week? Next week is Mother's Day again. And so rather than continue on in our series, we'll probably have a special Mother Day celebration and worship and message in our next Sunday gathering. But look with me at Matthew and chapter 1. Now, I'm just going to run through the first 12 chapters and give you a feel for what's going on in the Gospel of Matthew. This is overview. This is an outline kind of the whole picture. And it's good sometimes to do that. I believe, again, in reading the Word of God. In fact, before preaching this message, I read all the way through the book of Matthew twice just to make sure I've got this bigger picture understood. And one of those was just because in our Bible reading, Beverly and I hit Matthew this last month here and said, let's go ahead and read the whole book of Matthew. It was on our schedule. And so we did that. Now, that's other than our family altar where we're doing Old Testament readings yet. But we started in this New Testament. If you're following our family altar Bible readings and reading your Bible through on our schedule, you will get to the New Testament like in end of September or something. And so, again, notice that most of the 39 books of the Old Testament and only 27 books of the New Testament. And so if you're reading through your Bible, Genesis to Maps, then again, you're not going to hit the New Testament until September, end of September. But for Beverly and I, we're trying to read through our Bible twice, and so we have one that's 6 months off. And so this one here, we just read through, and that's one of the reasons I said, man, this is such good stuff. Let's just go ahead and take a quick overview of the book of Matthew. Let's do that real quickly right now. The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. That's the first verse. Look at verse 8 of that first chapter, or 18, I'm sorry. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. And so we have the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The lineage of a king is given first and followed through, and then we have the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And so we have the worship of a newborn king given in chapter 2. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Look, by the way, what he was preaching. This is the first occurrence again of this term. And it says, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Understand this about the kingdom of heaven. It's given 32 times in your Bible, and all of them have a address of Matthew. So Matthew's the only gospel author that talks about the kingdom of heaven. The others talk about the kingdom of God, and we're going to draw some distinctions between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, and that's slicing it pretty thin, okay? That's getting in a little bit deeper than some of us have gone before. And so, again, I want to just emphasize the fact that we're going to look at that kind of depth. And here, two things. Number one, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, there's a lot of Baptists that are running around teaching that repentance is not necessary. That's something you try and do to receive salvation, and you don't need repentance for salvation, to which I say balderdash. I don't care how Baptist they think they are. Listen, understand this, that without repentance, there's no remission of sins. And so repentance is a big deal. This message is not about that. But I emphasize that the first time here that the kingdom of heaven shows up and the preaching of John the Baptist shows up, that there is repentance for the entry into the kingdom of heaven. Look at chapter 4 and verse 1 on our run through the first 12 chapters. Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. In chapter 3, he was baptized. In chapter 4, he went through the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness and his temptation. Chapter 5, that we had read in our opening of our worship. And in chapter 5, you'll notice again that we have the Sermon on the Mount. I don't have a lot of time to cover a lot of things in the Sermon on the Mount, but look with me at chapter 7, okay? It goes on for three chapters, and I just preached this recently in chapter 7, where in verse 24 it says, verse 23 it says, "And when then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now pay attention, I said here that we're setting up the look at Matthew that says they rejected him. They rejected him as king, they rejected him here as a prophet. And look at the next verse, and we sing this, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man built his house upon a rock." And so notice the application of that there. It's right after three chapters of preaching the Sermon on the Mount. Look at chapter 8. "When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him," and we find him dealing with great multitudes. Chapter 9, "He entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city." There he's preaching to his own. Chapter 10, and verse 1, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples," and now he's dealing with his 12. He dealt with the multitudes in teaching them, giving them an opportunity to receive the king. They did not. He dealt with his own hometown crowd. They did not. Now he's taken his teachings and he's teaching to his disciples in chapter 10. And chapter 10 goes on through with that theme. Chapter 11. "And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard of the prison of the works of Christ," and so there he's now teaching in the cities of the disciples. Isn't that curious? Not all the cities. He's got narrowed down. He's teaching in the cities here again where the disciples had gone and preached, where the disciples were from, and where they had been a witness. And chapter 11 is dealing and visiting those towns and villages. Chapter 12. "And it came to pass on the Sabbath day," they went through the corn. And many of you know, again, as you study the life of Christ, that they rejected him for doing good things on the Sabbath day. They said, "No, it's not lawful for you to do this," and not recognizing that Christ is Lord indeed, even of the Sabbath day. So there's a quick introduction. It took 10 minutes. And so let's go ahead and look now at chapter 13, and we'll preach this next time we come together. Just a couple things I'll emphasize out of 13 by way of introduction. "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside." Notice the similarity of his preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, and now he's going to preach again here as he sits by the seasides. Verse 2, "And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went unto a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore." Look at verse 3, "And he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow." And so now we see Jesus starts teaching in parables. And again, as he starts that, notice again that this is something new. This is this doesn't characterize his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. This isn't characterized by his teaching in the villages and the towns. This isn't characterized by his healing of everyone that came to him. Now again, he's teaching them in parables. And even his disciples here stop and say, why are you teaching him in parables? Look at verse 9 of this chapter. "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." And listen, we still live in a society that does not have ears to hear. And we live in a society that has on a whole, they're on a wide road and a broad path that leadeth to destruction, and they're happy on that path. And again, they do not have ears to hear. And here we find this question given by the disciples, verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." As far as I got time to go to right now. But look at this line that he gives to his disciples. "It is given to you to know the mysteries about the kingdom of heaven. But to them out there, it's not given." I've had folks this week, and probably doubtless you have too, are questioning whether is this pandemic in the Bible. Does the Bible talk about this? Is the end days, is the last days, the end times, the second coming of Christ, the kingdom age, all those things. Hey, are they coming to pass in this pandemic? Well, we ought to have an answer to give unto them. We've had, again, people that question me about Trump haters who I ask again about who should I vote for? And again, I'm not going to endorse any candidate, but I'll tell you this. I don't care whether you think Donald Trump's a jerk. I don't care whether you think he's a bigger jerk than Joe Biden. If you think that, again, I question how much you've been watching the news and which Jason you've been watching. But again, here's the deal. Is come November, you've got to vote between two jerks. You got the jerk Donald Trump, who's not a politician. He's a businessman. And somebody don't even like to think of him as a businessman. And you got Joe Biden, who's... I'm not going to say anything about Joe, Sleepy Joe, okay? But anyway, you got to choose between two jerks. How are you going to do that? Well, again, I vote this way. I never vote on personality. I don't care how big a jerk they are. You vote on the platform that they're standing on. And that's how you make your decision. It's important to do that. Do that in all of our elections, state elections as well. Never mind whether the guy's a jerk or not. Never mind whether he called you on the phone and talked to you. Listen, all these guys are of the world, and they're running an office so that they can have power. And so again, they're all jerks in my opinion. But some of those jerks are standing on a platform, and that's how you need to vote come November. Do you think it's okay to kill babies in the womb? Do you think that homosexuals and transvestites, for crying out loud, who don't know whether they're male or female, should be teaching our kindergartners how to approach life? Do you think, again, that everyone in America ought to get a paycheck, whether they're working or staying home? And a lot of people now are staying home from work because of this virus, and they're getting a bigger paycheck for staying home than they were going to work. And again, that's an incentive that, again, the Socialist Party has to make people put them in power. So those three things there give you a platform that tell you how you should vote. And so there's only one person standing on a platform that's against abortion, standing on a platform that's against socialism, and standing on a platform that they're not going to get let misguided, immoral perverts be leaders in our society. For crying out loud, the Democratic Party had one of them running for the office of president, a sodomite, trying to be president. And they all said, "Oh, isn't this wonderful?" No, it's not wonderful. And so choose who you're going to vote for by the platform that they're standing on. And if you can come up with a platform that's reasonably righteous, vote for that candidate. And right now, again, that only leaves one vote that you have come November, problem solved right there. What'd they get off on that? Oh, anyway, we're looking here at the mysteries, things that Christians need to know. Christians need to understand. And so look at that verse again. Why are you speaking to them in parables? And he says, because it is given unto you, to y'all, okay, to you here. It is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. The Bible talks about other mysteries. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. The mystery of Israel's blindness. the mysteries of the translation of living saints at the rapture. The mystery of the new church being one body, Jew or Gentile, makes no difference. The mystery of the church as the bride of Christ. The mystery of the in-living Christ, that He lives inside of you. The mystery of God-given Christ, that He is Christ. God, even Christ, it says Colossians chapter 2. And so He is God. He is God incarnate. Listen, there are seven mysteries that's given into the Bible. And to you is given that you understand these mysteries. And so listen, you're only going to understand those mysteries as you make yourself a student of God's holy word. The first parable that we look at here is given in Matthew chapter 13. We'll take that up in another study. But notice that we have here 49 references to parables. 14 of them are spoken by Christ. And the parable of the sower is the first. The parable of the fig tree is the last. And so we want to be students of some of these parables to understand the mysteries. And here in these next few chapters, particularly in chapter 13, we're talking about understanding the mystery of the kingdom of God. So as we take up this study, boy, I want us again to be excited about God's word and what we can know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, praise you again and thank you. Thank you that we could study these things. Thank you for our Christ. Thank you again, Father, that He is our Passover lamb. And thank you again, Father, that you saved us from our sins by His death. And Father, that you commended your love towards us and that while we were sinners, you died for us. You died for us. And Father, oh, we love you and we worship you and you thank you for the changed life. Pray that you'd help us to be witnesses of that change this week. And Father, that you'd touch now our worship and our day and our week that we begin on this first Lord's Day. Hear our prayer, Father, especially for each member of Good Samaritan Baptist Church, the storms and trials that are going on in lives. And Father, that you'd hear our prayer and touch our need. And then, Father, again, that you touch our witness during these times. And I'll praise you and thank you for hearing our prayer even this morning. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. During our invitation here, think about some things that God has for us, even from God's word here. And as we sing, Saved by Grace again, you might just take time to praise God for what He's done for you. Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing. But oh, the joy when I shall unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord, bless you for being here today.
Praise the Lord, he has.
All right.